St. Paul begins his letter by presenting his credentials, works in three words that will be the focus of his letter by referring to holiness, unity, and the charisms, or gifts of grace. In chapter 1, we'll focus on holiness and unity. Paul presents his credentials in verse 1. He calls himself an apostle. This is to reiterate that he is one who is sent by Christ and not simply by his own initiative. By affirming his authority as an apostle, Paul alludes to his Damascus Road conversion experience that we find in Acts 9, verses 1 through 19, in which the resurrected Christ, by the will of God, called Paul to be an apostle and appointed him a missionary to the Gentiles. St. Peter and the other leaders of the church approved Paul's mission of the conversion of the Gentiles. And we find that in Romans 11, Acts 9, Galatians 1, 1 Timothy 2. Having identified himself, Paul greets the church in Corinth. So in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, Paul says, "To the church of God who is in Corinth, to you who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy with all those everywhere who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." So from verse 2 to verse 9, Paul reminds the community of who they are as baptized in Christ. In verse 3, Paul gives the community a blessing at the end of his greeting. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." It is Paul's typical blessing found in all of his letters. In his greeting of grace and peace, Paul gives what Jewish Christians may have recognized as an echo of the ancient priestly blessing for God's holy people Israel. We find that in Numbers 6, verse 24 through 26. And this is what it says: "May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh show his face and bring you peace." If Paul does intend to echo the priestly blessing, then this is an ecclesial blessing. In that case, grace represents God's covenantal grace revealed in Jesus Christ, and peace is the deep and abiding peace that comes from the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. It is a blessing that would have appealed to a mixed congregation of Christian Jews and Gentiles who are the body of Christ. So in these first few verses, Paul identifies himself as an apostle of Christ, reminds the Corinthians who they are in Christ, they are the holy ones, and then gives them a priestly blessing of grace and peace. This is quite a lot for 9 verses. So what does this say to us today? Well, Paul reminds us that we have been sanctified by Jesus Christ and called to be holy. We are called to be holy. I looked up the definition of holy and I found this: to be dedicated or consecrated to God. Sacred. Have we dedicated our lives to God? Or maybe a better question is this: what part of our lives have we not dedicated to God? I think we can all say that we are churchgoers and do-gooders and so on. But if we look into our hearts, can we say that we have made a space for God to dwell in every part of our heart? We are called to holiness, but sin gets in the way. Though we go to church, though we serve others, we still sin. We still have moments of selfishness, pride, envy, and so on. So Paul's reminder gives us pause. We are called to be holy. What steps do we need to take to grow in holiness that we've been called to? The second message I would like to highlight is unity. In 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 17, we hear that Paul received a letter from the Corinthian Christians from Chloe's household. Household includes not only the family, but servants. Chloe is probably a Christian woman of Corinth, in whose house Christians meet to pray, worship, and receive the Eucharist. Christians at this time did not have the freedom to build spaces solely devoted to worship. Therefore, they met in homes. Paul does not refer to communities, plural, but to the Corinthians as one, united church. The Christians who meet in Chloe's house church tell Paul that there are divisions in the Christian community at Corinth instead of unity. The problem is that some members of the community claim unity with Paul, and others with Peter, or the gifted Christian order Apollos. St. Paul ridicules the absurd idea that Christians are baptized in the name of the preacher who baptized them. He reminds the Corinthians that they are related to fellow Christians not because they are members of the same community or because they follow a certain Christian teacher who may have baptized them. They have kinship because Christ died for them and they are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, referring to the Trinitarian baptism Jesus commanded in Matthew 28:19-20. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is Christ who infuses them with his life in Christian baptism and unifies them in the church, which is the body of Christ. As Catholics, we believe in one baptism in Christ. When individuals want to convert to Catholicism from another Christian denomination, we do not re-baptize. We recognize that they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, the Catholic Church was the one Christian church before the Protestant Reformation and all the subsequent branches of Christianity. We desire to be one, but there is no unity in the global sense. But we continue to pray for that. In the meantime, let's look at unity within our smaller communities. Now, when I say smaller, we could look at many different communities. We could look at the United States with the political divisions, the Church of the Atlanta Archdiocese that has cultural divisions, as well as divisions between urban and suburban and rural needs. We could look at the cathedral community that is made up of many smaller communities like the 20s-30s group, the Hispanic community, the wealthy, the poor, even the homeless that come to our door every day for snack bags. Then we have our own CBSW community and our CBSW small groups within. We can also look at our own families. Maybe we have estranged family members or divisions due to members of our family harboring unforgiveness, or maybe we ourselves are reluctant to forgive family or friends who have caused disunity in our own life. Paul dealt with individuals who were aligning themselves with certain preachers or teachers instead of with Christ. United we stand, divided we fall. Paul called the Corinthians back to Christ. The one common denominator within all Christian communities is Christ. If we make sure to personally align ourselves with Christ, we have a much better chance of building unity, not only with other Christians, but with everyone. If we're called to holiness, in other words, dedicated to Christ, through Christ's example, we can learn how to build bridges within all the relationships and communities we encounter. Aligning ourselves with Christ calls for repentance and conversion. We need to let go of judgments we hold against those who are different. We need to have patience, understanding, wisdom. Do you see a pattern here? We need to open ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that the fruits of the Spirit can be evident in our lives. Paul confronts the divisions of the Corinthian Christian community by bringing them back to the foot of the cross. Remember, the Gentile Corinthians came from a place of logic and rational thinking. They came from a place of human wisdom. But human wisdom is not the wisdom of God. As humans, we look for external proof of God's existence. We have human minds that are limited, so we try to rationalize everything. Only by God's grace can a person truly be wise and able to accept and understand God's plan of salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote, "The message of Christ's cross contains something which to human wisdom seems impossible, that God should die, or that the Almighty should give himself up to power of violent men." It is the cross of the Savior that leads the way to true wisdom and the understanding that we cannot have the resurrection without crucifixion. We cannot have the glory without the sacrifice. Only God has the wisdom to present a plan of salvation through the power of the cross. Paul's approach to bring unity to the Corinthians by focusing them on God's promise of salvation through the cross is also a lesson for us today. We can only achieve unity in our community if we continually focus on what we have in common, salvation through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Also, if we are called to holiness, we must be dedicated to Christ and follow his footsteps. So we start at the cross. We journey to the cross and lay our sin at the foot of Jesus' sacrifice. When we do this, we recognize his sacrifice for us, his love, his mercy, and his forgiveness. The hope is that this realization humbles us so that we, in turn, sacrifice our pride in order to love, show mercy, and forgive those who have caused division in our communities. We also need to do an inventory of our own behavior in case we are the ones causing the division. When we stand at the foot of the cross and gaze on what makes no sense in our human minds, we come face to face with what makes perfect sense in the mind of God. Jesus had to die in order to rise, and through that, we have the gift of salvation.